Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. This is the story about Jesus preaching on the great day, the day of the Lord, where he, what we call Palm Sunday. All right, so go ahead. Lord, we bless the giving in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I want to thank everybody who has been giving. I want to let you know, first of all, that this was an amazing week, first of all. And this is so God in so many ways. But in 1 week, we saw God show up in two different places. He showed up at a funeral for one of my best buddies, Landon Spradlin. And he showed up at a wedding for one of my best buddies' kid, Ted and Yvonne Pack. And he showed up there. It was beautiful. Guess what happened? That's part of my message. Because in the book of John, the very first sign that John quotes, that John shows, where Jesus, didn't he show up at a wedding? And he turned the water. Come on, do I get an amen to that? Come on now. Yeah. He showed up at a wedding and he turned the water into wine. And the last sign in the book of John, he showed up at a funeral, right? Lazarus. Come on, can we get an amen to that? Yeah, and he raised the dead. So God just, that was this week. And he was there for both places. And in John chapter 12, it immediately takes place after the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So I'm going to read it, John chapter 12, verse 12. So 12:12 today. Here we go. When Jesus came to Jerusalem on what we call today Palm Sunday, here we go. Huge crowds came to greet him, calling out, Hosanna! Hosanna! And he rode on the donkey, and people spread their garments on the ground. And this is what happened in John chapter 12. They came in, and they were shouting and praising and laying their garments and waving their palm branches in John chapter 12 through 19. Waving their palm branches, and they were shouting out, Hosanna! To the Son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Come on now. I'm giving my commentary on it, okay? But you can see that passage there, how Jesus came riding a colt, a donkey, a young colt, not a big horse. And today's message I'm calling crowdsourcing the gospel. Crowdsourcing the gospel. What is crowdsourcing? He was accompanied by great crowds. And it says there in John, it says that the crowds themselves that had seen raising of Lazarus from the dead, they continued to witness. So it wasn't Jesus witnessing, right? He just came into the city. Who was doing the witnessing? The crowds. The crowds were doing the witnessing. Because that crowd saw Lazarus raised from the dead. And so they kept witnessing. So I want you to hear me on this. The Gospel of John starts with the disciples witnessing a secret sign. What was the secret sign at the wedding? Turning the water into wine. The only people that knew about that sign at the wedding was the disciples. But a crowd saw Lazarus come from the dead. And that crowd now is witnessing for Jesus. And so what I want to declare to you is that we are now coming into a season where we're crowdsourcing the gospel. The crowd is actually presenting the gospel now. It's not about one person. Come on, amen, amen, amen. It's not about one person. It's about the crowd giving the testimony all over the world. Amen. Come on now. I'm getting excited about this. And listen to this. With all the struggles that Landon and Jean went through, because of the kindness of God's people, they crowdfunded Jean. Over $25,000. And that's not just, that's just a little bit. I mean, there's more coming. Do you hear me? How God provided, we put our part in. People were just pouring in money through the crowd. It wasn't like the big guy saying, okay, no, not one person with a lot of money. It was a lot of people with their testimony of the goodness of God. So, praise God. Praise God. Come on now. So, God is going to crowdsource the gospel, and he's going to do great, mighty things. So, I'm going to give you some ways. Let's look at some ways how we can be a part of the great cloud of witnesses. I'm going to give you some ways. The great cloud of witnesses. All right, the first thing I'm going to say is signs and wonders. We need to make a commitment. Like the disciples, the first disciples had faith because they saw a great sign of turning water into wine. And I believe that as we're committed to signs and wonders that Jesus performed, that it started with just a few. Remember, just the servants knew the few signs and wonders, right? But then by the time of Lazarus, it says a great crowd, but they were committed to signs and wonders as a means to share the gospel. That means you guys praying for the sick, you guys raising the dead, you guys turning water into wine, you guys multiplying loaves and fishes, you guys, Jesus said, he who believes in me shall do greater works than these. Come on. So we need to make a commitment as a people of God. I'm going with the signs and wonders. That's what I'm going to live for. I'm going to live for these signs and wonders because that's how God is going to bring forth his gospel. All right, so the second thing. Do we get an amen to Christ, signs and wonders? Come on now. Yeah, okay. Number two. Now, when I say this word quiet, I don't mean don't honk your horns, okay? But in Thessalonians, write this down or just note it. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. This is not the opposite. Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. That's a tongue twister, by the way. I'm not speaking in tongues. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul tells the Thessalonians. Maybe this is the first letter that he ever wrote, by the way. Paul said to them this, aspire to live quietly. Now, he doesn't mean don't honk your horn. He doesn't mean shout to praise the Lord. Doesn't mean any of that. He says, this is what quiet living means. Mind your business. Mind your own business. Get out of the drama queen mode. Stop get out of other people's business and mind your own business. Live quietly. And then he says, work with your hands. Work with your hands as we instructed you. What was Paul saying? I'm teaching you that if you need to live a Christian life, stop running around in gossip. Stop checking everything out. Stop getting everybody else's business. And get to work with your hands. What does God want to do with your hands? He says, in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's one way. Come on, say amen to that. Lay your hands. Do your work with your hands. Earn your own living with your hands. And stop getting out of people's business. That's what quiet living is all about. It says, if you work with your hands, you will walk properly. So what you do with your hands will change the way that you live and be dependent on nobody. Don't be dependent on people. God wants you to live a quiet life where you go to God and learn how to receive from him. Now, it doesn't mean that people won't give into you, but they'll give because God tells them to give to you, not because you're dependent on somebody else. Come on now. He wants us to grow up and be dependent on God and not be dependent on other people. That means get out and work. Do what you got to do. And we need to pray and believe God that whatever we do in this country, that whenever these restrictions are lifted, people will get back to work and get out of everybody else's business. Amen? Come on now. What you do with your hands controls how you walk with your feet.
That's right.
Can I say an amen to that? What you do with your hands controls what you do with your feet. All right, that also includes the World Wide Web. So don't be dependent on the World Wide Web for your news.
That's right.
Be dependent on the Holy Spirit and God's Word for your news. Don't get so, I mean, it's so easy now. You got all this time on your hands. Don't be spending on the web all that time. Come on now. God's safety net is a lot stronger than the World Wide Web. Come on. All right, so that's the second thing. The third thing. God wants us to walk in a faith-based salvation. Now, that's a big term we use today. Are you a faith-based organization? Yes. As a matter of fact, my salvation is a faith-based salvation. It's not based on anything other than faith in Jesus. And that's my faith-based salvation. And I'm going to read you a scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Here's our number. I love this number 22. God's been using it in my life now for the past several years. The number 22, we live, our church is right on Route 220. Praise God. And we're in 2020. So I'm going to give you 2 Samuel 22 verse. Guess which verse? 20. Not 22, but 22, yes. Part of it, yes. All right, so 2 Samuel 2, Samuel 22, 20. Here we go. Ready? This is David. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he felt sorry for me. Wait a second. Thank you. Honk your horn if you don't agree with that statement. Yeah, that's it. Okay. So why does God save us? It says because he delighted in us. My salvation is based on God's love for me, not God's feeling sorry for me. He loves me. He delights in me because of Christ. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness because of Christ. He, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me because of what Jesus did for me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. How did I keep the ways of the Lord? Because of Jesus in me. I have not wickedly departed from my God. Why? Because Jesus lives in my heart. For his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. Why? Because Jesus lives in me. I was blameless before him and kept myself from guilt because Jesus lives in me. And the Lord has rewarded me according to what? To my righteousness. Now, where did I get that righteousness? From Jesus. But I got it. I got his righteousness. Now, if you believe what I just said, that you have his righteousness, I want you to honk real good. Come on. We need to confess the righteousness of God. We are, the Bible says, the righteousness of God in Christ. God answers our prayers because we have his righteousness in our lives. And how do you get his righteousness? Faith in what Jesus did for you. Amen. Praise God. I am committed. If you want to be a crowdsourcing gospel person, then impart the righteousness of God through Christ in your life. Don't think that you got to jump through so many hoops or be a certain way or act a certain way somehow that it's by you try to earn it or you try to live up to some set of rules. It's not going to work. I'm going to read you Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And, come on now, you got to finish that sentence. And are justified by his grace as a gift. Amen. Never quote that scripture, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Never do that without adding that last important phrase, and all are justified by grace as a gift. Amen. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Now here's the next thing. Christ in us manifests Christ around us. Here's how you can crowdsource and you can minister the power of God where you are in the great multitudes. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 22. Go back to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. Look what David says. It says, with the merciful, you show yourself merciful. Now that word show yourself means to manifest. All right, so Kenny, you're a merciful guy. Guess what God does? Because you've got the mercy of Christ in you, he shows up as a merciful God to all people that you come in contact with you. Come on. And Ted, it says, with the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. Because you've got the blamelessness of Jesus in you, guess what God shows up? When God shows up to people around you, they go, man, this guy, he's like, okay, I don't get this. He just, there's something about him. And then like John, it says, with the pure, you deal purely. That means just when you get hang around this guy because of the holy purity of God in your life, people feel clean around you. They're like, wow, I feel good. I feel like I'm okay. I mean, and that's the love of Jesus. But the crooked, you seem torturous. You save a humble people. And you see, you've got Danny. There's a humble person. Why? God is in his heart. He knows that without Jesus, he can do nothing. And so people get around him and they go, man, this guy is not like, he's not like stuck on himself. I feel like I can do it. And you know what? These words are very much like the Beatitudes that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5. What did he say? Blessed are the humble, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Receive mercy. It sounds like Jesus was quoting Pop David, King David, his father David, right there. So here is where God shows up because of who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. So I want you to rejoice that God is going to use you as the great crowd to be able to impart his goodness, his mercy, his purity, his love, his signs and wonders. And I'm going to say couple more things here really quick. In 2 Samuel 23, this thing continues, and he says in verse 6, but the worthless men are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken by the hand. Well, what happens to that? But the man who touches them arms himself with iron and a shaft of spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire. So 2 Samuel 23, verse 6, this is the one thing I'm going to tell you, don't be like, okay? Don't be like thorns. You got that? Don't be like thorns. Don't be a thorny person. Why? You can't grab thorns. You can't touch them. You can't touch them. Be the kind of fruit. Don't be a prickly pear. Be a pear. You don't eat prickly pears. Why? You can't touch them. Be a pear. Be a pear. Be somebody that can be touched. So that somebody can touch you and you're not so sharp and thorny that nobody can do anything with you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but touch them in your heart. 6 feet away. Okay. God wants us to be the kind of person that we can be handled. You know? Be that way. All right? Amen. All right, I want you to honk amen if you want to be the kind of person that can be handled. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You know, God spoke to me one time. I was asking him a question about something. He said, John, he says, I can trust you because you listen to people when they talk to you. And I was like, thank you, Lord. That was like one of the nicest things God ever said to me, is that you listen to people. And so you take advice. And one of the hardest people to be able to work with is somebody that they won't listen to anything. No matter what you tell them, they just won't hear you. And that's the one thing I want to tell you not to be, okay? And I've got two more things here. Here we go. Are you ready? Two more things. Be an imitator of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. that if you're an imitator, learn to imitate the right things. Paul said this, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you, honk if it's going to be all, this is about you guys, so honk, honk. Come on, so about you right now. That's right. You became an example to how many people? All the believers. You're an example to all believers. Where? In Macedonia and Achaia. That's the entire northern part of Greece and up into the, you know, farther. For not only has the word of God sounded forth, not from the Apostle Paul, who? From you. This is where the gospel is going forth, from you. But your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. So that we, the apostles now, look at this. You guys are preaching so much, right? That's what he's telling them. We don't have to say anything. You guys are so on fire that we don't have to say anything, for all these people out there are saying they're concerning us, the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So I'm just speaking this. If you're imitators of God, you will end up doing way more than your preachers. Way more. Way more. This crowd is going to bring the world to Jesus. This crowd is going to bring the world to Jesus. It's not so much about what the apostles said or what the leaders said. It's the crowd. It's the crowd. It's the crowd. And then lastly, but not, you know, this is something to carry with you. Let our last words be our best words. Let our last words be our best words. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. We're going to finish on this scripture. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. These are the last words of David. These are the last words of David. The oracle of David, the son of Jesse. The oracle of the man who was raised on high, like Lazarus. We are raised on high. We've been resurrected by faith in Christ in our hearts. Anointed of the God of Jacob, like the disciples were at Pentecost, we also are anointed. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit when he came in our hearts. The sweet psalmist of Israel, we, the crowd, worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. We are sweet psalmists. You may not think you can sing all that well, but let me tell you, with Jesus in your heart, you've got the sweetest sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then last but not least, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by you. The great crowd means that you speak his words, because my heart and my mouth have been given to Jesus. My heart and my mouth have been given to Jesus. So we're going to pray right now. And here's my prayer. And I want you to say it wherever you are on the web, wherever you are in your cars. But it's going to be a repeat after me. I won't be able to hear you. But then we can all say amen together. But here's the words. Lord, my first words may not have been very good.
My first words may not have been very good.
But because of you, Jesus, my last words will be my best words.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let the words of my heart, mouth, and what's in my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Father God, we pray right now. We pray for this nation. We pray for the world. We pray that lives will be spared in the physical life. But Lord, we also pray that many lives will come into eternal life. Father, we know there is life eternal. And we say that in the midst of this time, in the midst of all the fear and all the uncertainty, that people will turn to Jesus and that they will receive life that cannot be quenched. They receive light inside of them that can never be turned off. We thank you, Lord, that because we have faith in you, Jesus, it says that we will never see death, because we have passed from death into life. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, we pray for this world that they might be saved, for God so loved it. We pray for this nation, because there is a holy nation and a royal priesthood in this nation right here, the United States. We pray for the U.S. And we also pray for our community. And Father, we pray that this community will see the power of God. The power of God. And even though this virus has now come to this community, Father, we say, let your glory fill this community. And Lord, let it change us. Let it change us and let life come. And Lord God, we say, have mercy upon the people that are in the, quote, essential services. And thank you, Lord, that Palm Sunday is an essential service. Amen. Easter Sunday is the essential service. Amen. Praise God. It's the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, we pray, Lord God, for the testimony of Jesus, that it would be the very words of Jesus in our lives. Lord, we're praying for financial blessing to those that cannot work right now. We pray, God, bless those people in our area, Lord, that they can have income, that they can have everything provided for them by Jehovah Jireh. Father, we take our trust off of man, and we put our trust into God. And Father God, we pray also, Lord God, for a vision for the future. Right now, it's like we can't put any plans together, like we can't put anything on the calendar. But Lord God, we know that the plans of God, that the purposes of God cannot be defeated. When God says, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to happen. Nothing will stop God's purposes. I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Father, as we go today, Lord God, we bless you. We go with a sense that we are part of that great crowd, and that this great crowd is going to bring in the coming of Jesus to the great city of the New Jerusalem. And that there will be signs and wonders. And Lord God, as we wave our palm branches this day, Lord God, let it be a sign. Let it be a sign of the great crowd of witnesses that are going to come with Jesus and that are going to declare the glory of God and that are going to bring about, Lord, even a tremendous multiplication of the witness and of the glory of God in this earth, and that the harvest will be brought fully in, Lord God, that everyone that you call to be saved, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can be dismissed. In Jesus' name.